Hello everyone. Let me welcome you to today's class. It's about estimating software projects and managing cost. My name is Professor Anuj Dalal and I carry more than 15 years of experience in the field of IT and business development. I started my life as a project manager and I've had multiple roles in software coding, application development, software delivery, and then I slowly moved to the business side of things. So be rest assured, this journey is going to be an exciting one where I'll take you through not just what are the important elements to be considered while we are looking at software projects, but also give a business angle to it so that you understand the business implications and you can make this as a part of your life going forward. So with this, I welcome you to today's class. In today's lesson, we'll look at the introduction to software estimation. And we'll also look at a high-level view of how do we manage costs. So without further ado, let's jump into the agenda. So the agenda for today would be, we look at obviously the software estimation as the name suggests, but more importantly, why do we need to learn this? So we'll look at some finer aspects of what do you mean by project? What is the estimation? Why exactly is estimation required? Then we look at how are projects classified? We look at the different types of projects, how are they billed to the customer, how are they billed internally to have revenue recognition and so on. We further deep dive into why is the entire subject of estimation important. Then we look at what are the early estimates or guesstimates that are required for a project. Key areas when it comes to estimation. And we then deep dive into the science of doing an accurate estimate. We then look at who is responsible, who owns the entire life cycle, who owns the entire cost element, management of it, estimation of it, when do we do the software estimation, right? So yes, a completely power-packed agenda, let's deep dive into it. So what do you mean when we talk about software estimation? Right, and that's the course that we are going to talk about for this lesson and the next lessons going forward. Estimation is an important a part of software project management life cycle. It is absolutely important that we look at software estimation not just from a resource perspective, but also from the overall life cycle delivery perspective. So what I mean is there are various aspects that are considered when we talk about softwares. Things like what are the resources that will be needed, things like the time that will be needed, effort that will be spent on a particular project, or the kind of funding that needs to be initiated. So estimation is a high level activity encompassing all these things that I just mentioned. Accurate estimate is absolutely critical to meet the business objectives. And this is important both from the customer's perspective and from the software vendor's perspective, because the customer would work on certain stringent timelines for which the application has to be made live to the end users, to the internal stakeholders, etc., depending upon the project. But from the software developer's perspective or the OEM's perspective, now OEM is a original equipment manufacturer. So although it's equipment, it could be a original software manufacturer, right? So from a software vendor perspective, it is equally important so that he optimizes the cost that he has to give to his client and in a way seal that deal, right? So from a overall profit and loss perspective, from overall project delivery timeline perspective, software estimation is absolutely important. Right. So as I explained, accurate estimation is crucial for meeting the objectives of both the software vendor and the project owner, as it helps to balance the expectations of profit and project delivery within the agreed cost, timeline and quality. Quality is the most important aspect of an entire project life cycle. Right. The customer might have very stringent timelines. And at the same time, the software vendor would have very stringent cost pressures to deliver the project within the timelines, but keeping a view on the overall profitability of the entire engagement. But believe me, in all these two aspects, the important aspect is to not compromise on the quality. If the project is delivered in not a very good fashion, then it's bound to have bugs, the application will not perform as expected, and it will have a shady end user experience. So important aspects to be looked at obviously is cost, timeline and quality. So let's look at what estimate, what are the different key elements to be considered when it comes to estimation. Should we look at resources? Should we look at scale? Should we look at timeline? Should we look at the quality? Or we should have a look at cost? So, okay, software estimation. So, in software development project, or maybe even if it is a maintenance project, the effort estimation is the overall process of forecasting how much effort is required for that particular work. Okay, now, first let me give you a differentiation between a development project and a maintenance project. When I talk about a development project, that means a client has to deliver a new functionality. Now, that new functionality can be in a form of a new application. So, say for example, the customer wants to roll out a HRMS system, that is a human resource management system, where people in the particular office would kind of log into the system, give their details, do their profiling, maybe have things like the leave management system, attendance system, etc., etc., as part of the HRMS system. Now, if the customer or the end user wants to develop this right from scratch, then it's called as a development project. Now, if the project is already live and say it is hosted either on-premise, on their own data center, on public cloud, etc., and it's already running, then the project is termed as a maintenance project. Basically, it's the ongoing phase of the particular project. So in both cases, estimation is required in terms of the overall manageability. If it's a new project, if it's development work, then obviously you need to look at things like coding, look at things like gathering of information, functional knowledge, business requirements, and so on. And if it is a maintenance project, then you just need to look at the overall uptime of the project. How exactly are the end users getting user experience from that particular application? How the uptime is getting maintained? How are day-to-day bugs getting fixed? How are security patches getting applied to the system, and so on? This effort is traditionally measured in terms of the number of hours that are put in by the human resources. So say for example, the most common practice is to look at man days, right? Man days is, say there are 5 people assigned to a particular job and they work 8 hours in a day. So per day it's like 8 5s are 40, so 40 hours of efforts that are put in. If it is just a one day's work and 5 people employed in that particular project. So number of resources deployed on that particular project is the most common practice of measuring how estimate has to be done. Why is estimation needed? So effort estimation is used to help draft the project plans. Estimate helps you to arrive at certain costs. So if it's a early life cycle in a project where say a software company like say a TCS or a Infosys or a Wipro or a HCL, and believe me, I'm just taking the names of these four software giants so that it's more relatable, but obviously there are multiple different small software vendors who also do these development work, right? So say just an example, again let's come back to the HRMS application. Say there is a company ABC. And that particular company wants to roll out a HRMS application for its users. And this company approaches the software vendors, so say TCS, Infosys, etc., for them to, you know, go and build this system for ABC Enterprises. What TCS, Wipro, Infosys would do is speak to the business guys. If there is a RFP, that is a request for proposal, established by ABC Enterprises, then they would look at that, look at the functional expectation of ABC Enterprises, and then create some sort of budgetary estimate. Now, when I say budgetary estimate, it's actually the cost that a software vendor like a TCS or Infosys will charge to ABC Enterprise. In this, they will also look at what will be the timelines, how many resources would be deployed, and again, the entire thing would revolve around the man days. So because it's man days, they arrive at the number of hours that are required, and accordingly, they will do their internal calculation to put people on board who would help build this application, right? And that particular cost then gets transferred to ABC Enterprises, and basis that they would select which vendor is lowest, which vendor has good credibility in the market, who has a good track record of providing a solution like this, and more importantly, how comfortable are ABC Enterprises with a software vendor like these. This practice also enables a project manager, once the project is awarded to one of the software vendor and then a project manager is assigned to the project, practice enables a project manager or a project owner to accurately predict the cost and then allocate the resources, right? So it shouldn't be a way or a thing that say there are 100 resources deployed on one particular project, but then the entire cost estimate goes haywire, and which causes a degradation in terms of the profitability. So all software vendors work towards a goal, which is profit, right? So if more and more resources are deployed, which means higher the cost to the company, obviously it could mean that the delivery timelines are met, but then it also puts a lot of pressure on the bottom line, which is the profitability. On the other hand, putting less resources on the project, which means the delivery timelines would be far stretched, which also means that the payments would be stretched, right? So it's a thin line that the company has to make. By company, what I mean is the software vendor has to make, so that it balances out, say, the efforts that are put into the project and the timelines required. Okay. I've spoken much about what a project is, and I spoke too much about a project, but let's actually understand what do you mean by a project, right? A project is an individual or a collaborative enterprise that is carefully planned and designed to achieve a particular aim. What do I mean by that? Again, let's go back to the HRMS application. In this case, the particular aim is to deliver the human resource management system as an application. So that is the goal or the ultimate aim of ABC Enterprise. A project is a temporary endeavor undertaken to achieve specific objective. Obviously, once the HRMS system gets developed, it then gets handed over to ABC Enterprise. ABC Enterprise might have their own resources, own people working on this, or they might outsource the maintenance again to the software vendor who has developed it, right? So all in all, it's a temporary endeavor, right? So once the project gets handed over, it's done. We are referring here only to projects involved that involve coding, that involve application development. Say if it's a Android platform that needs to be developed, say if there is a coding that needs to be done in Java or any other programming language as such. So all in all, project is one particular functionality which solves the business problem, and it has to be delivered to the party who requires it. Stakeholders involved, obviously, the company who requires this functionality, the software vendor who creates this, and the project is led by a project owner, and there will be multiple different stakeholders involved in the particular project. What is estimation? Now we spoke about project, we spoke about estimation, so now it's time to link both of them together so that you get a fair bit of understanding about project and estimation. So estimation, as explained earlier, is a approximate calculation of the overall value or the quantity of the particular project. A rough calculation of the value in terms of, say, numbers, quality, or the overall extension of the timelines that are required, and it can be defined as a project process of forecasting or approximating the time and the cost to complete the project deliverables. And as I mentioned, estimates are generally worked out prior to the project planning phase, because even when in the bidding phase, where the software vendors are actually bidding for the particular project, it's at that time that they have to arrive at some kind of cost estimations. So just look at it this way, assuming that you have to say kind of do some interior work at your house, right? So you would say approach an interior designer or an architect, and you would ask for an estimation, right? It's similar to that. So at that time, the civil engineer or the architect might not have all the details, but then he or she would try to give you a rough cut estimation of how much it would cost. And as I said, it's not absolutely accurate, but then it's more or less there so that you have a fair bit of understanding in terms of what your budgets could be, what is the cash outflow that will happen. So let's take this example to enterprises. Even say if enterprises want to launch some platforms or some services to their end customers, a similar way they will look at estimation of the particular project. Say if it's an e-commerce company and they want to launch out a marketplace where the end customers could log into the portal, look at the different offers, the products, and then make an informed decision to buy. So then they will roll out this particular initiative to the software companies, who would do an initial estimation of what the business needs are, what the platform has to be, what would be the software products that will be deployed, what are the software costs, what are the human resource costs, and then create a cost estimate and submit to the particular customer so that he can take an informed decision about what software products can actually meet their business requirements. Most importantly, estimates are based on the known information about the project at the time of estimation. An important thing here is to consider is that a lot of these estimations are based on certain assumptions. Assumptions in terms of, say, the efforts involved, assumptions, or rather we call it considerations. Consideration in terms of what is the functionality that is needed, how much are the resources needed, what are the timelines, what are the cost pressures, etc. And these estimates act as guidelines, right, for the project manager. So once a project gets awarded and a project manager is selected to deploy the project, the project manager is a SPOC. A SPOC is a single point of contact. He's the owner of that particular project to deliver it to the end customer. So the project manager has his neck on the line when it comes to delivering a particular project. So these estimates act as a single source of truth for the project managers, who then communicate with the internal stakeholders, be it project owners, be it the delivery guys, and then arrive at timelines to submit to their end customers, right? They provide the means of balancing the stakeholder expectations and setting up a baseline for controlling the project costs. As I mentioned, expecting a project to be delivered in a small timeline and compromising on a quality is something which is not expected. So the project manager has to walk this thin path of managing the customer expectation when it comes to timelines, but also managing the expectation of the internal stakeholders when it comes to the profitability. So he has to manage basically how many resources get deployed on that particular project, so as to ensure that the project gets delivered in that particular timeline. Okay, so having looked at the initial definitions of project and the importance of estimation, now let us look at how software projects get classified. And there are several types in which they are classified. So first is by size. By size, what I mean is the overall cost required, the overall duration of that particular project, the business value, and so on. So let us assume, say, the government of India wanted to roll out a portal for knowing, say, the number of people infected with COVID, right? So that's an application, and it's huge when it comes to the business value that it gives to the citizens. So if I have to dig deep on that particular project, it's a project that gives benefit to the end citizens, More importantly, what is the duration required for that particular project? In how long or how fast should that be developed? In my opinion, not more than a couple of days, right? And what is the cost implication involved? How many resources should be deployed, etc., etc.? So the project by its own is very critical or was very critical when it comes to delivering the value that it carries. So first is the project by its own size, by its own stature. Second is by its type. By type, what I mean is it a new project? Say if the government of India wants to create some sort of a portal for checking the status of, say, Aadhaar verification, right? It's already in place, so I don't think that's a good example. But you get the point, right? Say if it's a new application to do car registration or to do a house registration, so that's a new project by itself. If a company wants to create a new application where they invite all the employees to share certain personal details for, say, their internal stuff. So things like an internal portal where customers could share their knowledge, share their internal hobbies, maybe some sort of a miniature Facebook kind of version, but only for its internal employees. Right, so that's a new application. When it comes to other projects, like say a maintenance project, so assuming that there is a passport application already in place, it has to be maintained year on year, day on day, so that it delivers the value to its end users. Say for example, there is the IRCTC or the railway booking application, right? Every day, thousands and millions of people do railway bookings online. So it has to be maintained, the OS has to be fixed, the software has to work in the way it has to, right? So it's more of a maintenance project because there is no new development work that is happening. So that's the difference between a new implementation and a maintenance project. By application, it's really important whether it's a web-based application, whether it's a mobile application. In today's world, generally, softwares are having features of both, even web-based applications and mobile-based. And even when it's mobile-based, it has to be iOS-based and Android-based. So depending upon the kind of application, say if it's an e-commerce site, it has to have both the desktop application and the mobile application, correct? And by complexity, so how critical is it? Is it a high risk? Is it a low risk? What is the urgency involved? So say if it's again going back to the COVID example, where it's a real-time dashboard that say on a citizen portal where they show the life status of the hospital beds, right? So it's absolutely critical, it's real-time, and the customers would want to see it in real-time to actually make informed decisions. Right, so a project of this kind is absolutely important and critical. So it's categorized as a project which is highly critical and it has a high risk because the software cannot afford to fail because it impacts the way people look at booking hospital beds. So all in all, four mechanisms in which software projects get classified. So one is by size. One is by the type of project, whether it's a new deployment, whether it's a maintenance, or it's just an operational project. Third is by the application. So whether it's a Windows application, whether it's an Android application, whether it's a desktop application or a mobile application, and even in mobile application, if it is iOS or Android, and overall, how complex is it and how critical is it? So let's look at some of the project types. The first is the packaged offerings. Now, what do I mean by packaged offerings? Most companies in today's world release something called as package offerings. So these are standard software packages, more like software as a service. So you would have heard companies like SAP or companies like Oracle, ERP or Tele. They have certain packages that are pre-built. Now, what I mean by pre-built is like they already have some of the functionalities which are inbuilt into their software, and this particular software is then sold to the customers, right? Now, when say a SAP or a SAP ERP is an enterprise resource planning software, when it is sold to the end users, because it's a base software, it will obviously have the basic functionalities, but then the end customer will have to customize it as per their needs. Now, what do I mean by that? So, say for example, there is an inventory management system for say a SAP tool, right? The inventory management system, say in a manufacturing company, might be different as compared to, and I'll give you an example. So, say if there is a company that manufactures paints, right? Say if it's an Asian Paints or a Berger Paint, etc. The inventory management system of Asian Paints might be absolutely different from the way a tire manufacturer has to maintain their inventory, right? So then, even if both companies use the same software, which is SAP, the way it has to be customized as per their own needs might be different. So just to give you an example, Asian Paints, it's a fast-moving product. People would generally not wait, right? So if the inventory is kind of replenishing fast, then the system needs to send out an alert that only say the inventory is going to last for 4 days, and then an alert gets sent to the owner. In case of say the tire manufacturer, if the inventory is ready for 4 weeks, right, it's at that time that they want to send an alert, right? So the point I'm making is that it's absolutely customizable as per the business segment that the customer operates in, and also on the criticality of the business model. Most of the package vendors, as I said, give out this package offerings to their customers, but more importantly, it's after the base package is sold, that's where a professional consulting company or in-house IT teams start working on it and build customization on top of it. Customization more catering towards the business model in the example that I just mentioned. And then the software gets adapted as per their own business needs. So standard software, which is becoming the norm of the industry. So what happens is the standard software will have, say, 80% of the things inbuilt, right? And it's only after that that customization has to be built on top of it, right? So it's like saying you go out to the market and say buy a pair of trousers, right? And the trousers have a particular length. So then you have to go to the tailor and maybe get the length altered, right? It might not be the best example, but then getting the length altered is only maybe say 10% or 20% of the job, because you get the trousers in the fit, in the fabric, etc., etc. And just a small bit of customization is needed. If we have to say relate to the software example, which means the software is kind of pre-built to you, and then you have to build customization on top of it. The inventory management system that I gave an example of, assuming that say the end customer is a insurer or a say a company that disburses loans, like an NBFC, then they might want to customize saying that how do they target their end customers, or in case of loan, when does the loan alert get sent to the end customer, and so on. So the base package is already provided by the software vendor, and on top of it, there are customizations done. So standard package software projects may include the below sub projects. So one is the version or the release updates. Now, this is most important. So the standard package that gets delivered to the customer, it will have one particular version. And from time to time, what these companies do is they come up with new releases, new updates in terms of the product features. Just to give you an example, say if you were using, say, Windows 10, and now you've launched, or Windows has launched Windows 11, right? Now this is a major upgrade. This is not an update. But when we talk about Windows 10, and you would have seen Microsoft keeps on releasing the patches or the periodic updates just to enhance the user experience. Maybe it could be to say mitigate some of the security risks. It could be in terms of mitigating or increasing the performance of the operating system, etc., etc. So that's more of an example how Microsoft operates. If we relate to the software ecosystem, it's pretty much a similar way. Say if there's an application like Salesforce, or there is a application for CRM, that is a customer relationship management tool, the software vendors will keep on releasing periodic updates just to enhance the overall user experience. So these updates will then also need to get reflected in the base package. Software vendors periodically release these updates. In case of major software vendors like say Oracle or SAP, who are selling a lot of solutions on ERP, then the upgrade can take a lot of time. So there is a difference between how update takes place, and there is a difference in which how upgrade takes place. So assuming that the platform is, say, running on, just a vague example, say it's running on 4.0, and the new release is on 5.0, then it's a upgrade, right? Say from Windows 10 to Windows 11, it's an upgrade. But if from Windows 10 there are additional functionalities that are added, then it's just an update. So there'll be update in terms of the operating system, update in terms of the security patches, etc., etc. So that's an update. So updates are typically more faster in nature. Upgrades take a longer time, and there's a reason to it. So in an upgrade, if there's a major upgrade that happens, maybe the underlying ecosystem gets changed. So what I mean by that is, assuming that the underlying system was working on, say, virtual machines, and in the new upgraded world, if it changes from virtual machines to, say, Kubernetes, then the upgrade can take a hell lot of time. Whereas in case of updates, it's maybe a small patch that gets released, or there's a minor bug fix, etc. So that's more of an update. In terms of software development, in terms of testing, implementation, there's a lot of customization that needs to be done for a software project to run smoothly. And that's where the role of software vendors is absolutely important. IT firms specialize in this particular field to help develop these kind of softwares to meet the specific requirements. And the firms will also help to actually, you know, not just build, but also do the testing of that particular application and then implement the software. So what I mean is, once, say, the software gets developed, it's most important that the software vendor tests it before giving it to the end user. So there's an entire chain that happens when it comes to actual handover of that particular project. So first, it obviously starts with the requirement gathering, where the software vendor would look at the business requirements, look at the functional requirement, and then create a document, and then do a sign off with the customer saying that, look, these were your business requirements, which translates into the functional requirements, and this is how we will provide you the system. Now, once this gets signed off, right, which means that the end user has accepted that the business requirements stated are correct, it's after that the implementation work starts. And what I mean by implementation is, if we, say, look at how the software gets developed in terms of, say, coding, etc., etc., the software gets developed. And more importantly, once the software gets developed, it has to be first tested. Tested for things like bugs, things like performance, things like resiliency, and things like overall optimization. So there's a rigorous testing that happens in terms of load testing, in terms of stress testing, in terms of functionality testing, And once this testing parameters get successfully okayed, it's only after that that the project gets deployed in a test environment. After the test environment, the project, once say successfully delivered, implemented, and the end customer is happy with it, it then gets rolled out to the production environment. So typically a customer would have maybe say two environments or three environments, starting with a test environment or a development environment. Development environment is also called as UAT, that is a user acceptance testing. Project first gets delivered in a UAT environment or a dev environment. Customers would typically have a test environment. So say new use cases or new business needs first get tested in the test environment. Once it is successful and they are okay with the overall delivery, it's after that that the changes get rolled out in the production environment. Standard software packages may include, again, the below subcategories, enhancement and fixes to the existing software. So as I just mentioned, many banks, many financial institutions, large enterprises, they have the existing softwares, right? So say, for example, there is a bank who is currently using a banking software. Say there is a software called Finacle that has been developed by Infosys, and the software is working fine, correct? Now if say RBI releases a guidance for the bank saying that if there is a daily withdrawal of say more than 10,000 rupees, just again a vague example, then there is an alert that has to be sent to RBI, and these limits can be customizable. So then the existing software that this particular bank is using, it has to be customized with the new guidelines. And that's where the role of enhancements come into picture. If a limit has to be set, say, let me take you back to the time of demonetization, right? If you go to an ATM, then the ATM would restrict the kind of money that is sent out, maybe say 2,000 rupees. So that has to be customized, and that enhancement has to be made in that particular software, which is then loaded into the ATM machine so as to achieve the business objective. So it's actually an enhancement or a fix that has to be made to the existing software so as to accommodate the business need. Again, to meet the changing user requirement, the software needs to be changed, enhanced time to time. There was a way in which, just to give you an example, say Amazon.com. Amazon.com had a fantastic mobile application through which customers can shop, but it didn't have a functionality where customers could share that particular link via WhatsApp image, correct? So then that has to be added. Obviously, it is added in the current software, but just to give you an example and you get the hint, right?